Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Grey's Academy, your favorite Grey's Anatomy podcast on the entire internet. You have your two favorite hosts. My name is Carmen.
My name is Kelsey, and it is a beautiful day for a podcast. And let me tell you, I hate so many men in this show.
Yeah, this episode is not great for men on this show. I mean, yeah, I don't think there's a single guy in this episode who I have no feedback for.
I don't really have any issue with Jackson, honestly.
We'll get into it. One moment where he was being a little bit jovial with Lexi, but we'll get into it. Also, do you see how professional that intro was? I stayed to the full script.
Also, I don't feel great. Everyone heads up. If I fall asleep, it's because I don't feel good. And because Carmen's very, very boring.
Okay. Well, that was a bit harsh.
It's just
I'm retired now.
I know, but not for long. Only for this week.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens next week. I think retirement lasts as long as I want it to last.
I'm retired every time that I'm not doing something.
See, doesn't it feel good?
No, because I'm not asleep.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
If I'm awake, it's a waste.
Did Jess tell you that we impulse bought a new bed?
No, but you told us last week that you bought a new bed and it wasn't an impulse buy. Literally the entire saga of you going to multiple stores, which doesn't feel like an impulse buy.
Well, okay. It was an impulse buy because I wasn't planning on getting it today. I was going to go until the baby. That was going to be like once Jess and I get pregnant again, that was going to be like our celebration. Like we did it.
She told me you're mad about the chair she got.
Yeah, she picked it out of the garbage.
No, she didn't.
Yes, she did.
It wasn't in a garbage can.
Okay, I'm not going to get into you.
I don't feel like you understand that people just put things on the curb for other people to take. You're wrong.
No one ever has done that once in their life.
That's literally, there are entire like Instagram and TikTok feeds dedicated solely to people finding and restoring furniture like that.
Why not put it on Facebook Marketplace?
Because not everyone is a grifter trying to steal money and make people pay for things that aren't worth as much as they're charging for.
That's not true. Everyone is.
That grill was not worth $80.
Which one?
The one you sold for $80.
It was worth $80.
It was like falling apart and rust.
Okay. It was. I'm not going to have this conversation with you.
Yeah,
because I was going to prove your point, right?
There it is.
I will say, so I've been very productive this... Wait, is today Tuesday?
Yeah.
Wow, this episode doesn't even come out tomorrow. Wow, what a blessing. I'm going to edit it tomorrow at midnight.
You're so stupid. This is what I have to deal with.
We probably should, you know, have a call with our dear friend Dylan. And
yeah, we
and
definitely need to do that.
But shout out to Anna for getting our logo and art done. All
yes,
that's beautiful.
We're getting so
rebrand.
Much positive feedback on it. Everybody loves it. It's so nice and profesh.
Yeah. Yeah. I realized that I said that kind of like off the cuff last week, and it was very much, hey, maybe I'll throw a new logo up. And I just did it, and it worked.
Yeah. Correct.
So. Also, guys, just so you know, we didn't discuss anything. We just went right into this podcast. So there's going to be banter. There's going to be crazinesses. Do you have any shout outs that you want to go through today?
Oops. No.
Oh, not a single person. Okay.
Nope.
Okay. I'm going to give a quick shout out, to Renee. Got a couple dad jokes. I know it's been a while since we've done it, but she sent me some. So I want to look at this. Why did the sad ghost use an elevator? To lift his spirits. Oh.
Oh.
There was so long of a pause,
I'm
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
you're...
I'm moving slow. It's okay. It's okay.
How does the moon cut his hair?
I don't know.
Eclipse it.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. Last one. The recipe said, set the oven to 180 degrees. Well, now I can't open it because the door is facing the wall.
I did see where that one was going.
Let's see. Let's see. I'm going through my list here. Oh, freaking shout out Alicia for your birthday.
And Ethan.
And Ethan! Ethan!
Oh, my.
Ethan is... In a blossoming lovely relationship, and we want to make sure that we embarrass him as much as we can through love. So, Ethan, if you want to use this as a chance to show your boo how popular you are, that you have some great, great friends who want to shout you out on a world famous podcast. This is your opportunity.
Song?
I don't know.
You know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know.
I know it's one of those viral songs.
Yeah, it's on the internets.
Yeah. So, anyways, also want to shout out. Let's see, where am I? I had responded to everyone in that thread while I was pooping one day. So, very productive when I'm pooping.
No other times.
Yeah. No, that's it. That's it. Maddie cramming for a big midterm. Hopefully you absolutely smoked that intern, that midterm, not the intern.
Yikes.
Mo's just working a ton of overtime, getting ready for the holiday season. So just know that we're with you. Happy anniversary to Katya and Nick. And Janisha, hopefully, you enjoyed some Downton Abbey, episodes. And then just shout out to Angie for being super dope in that thread, too. Let's see who else was in that thread. I want to shout out. Oh, Maddie was looking great in her scrubs and her lab coat. Casey had just like a wild breakthrough with her study. So posting a lot of stuff there. Really awesome. Shout out, Casey. Catherine, you are so sweet. You didn't spoil anything. I just want to make sure that you know that. Just remember, you didn't spoil anything. I was going through that thread again where they're looking for the...
Yeah.
Kaylee you're doing great with your speech. So I hope hopefully it goes really, really well. Also, I was watching Only Murders in the Building, and they referenced Grey's Anatomy, and I reached for the remote just the chance they spoiled something. They didn't.
Good.
Yeah. That show just has so many A-listers in it. It is bananas. It's so
true. I haven't watched it, but it is. It has had a lot of them.
Oh, all of them. I think every actor who's ever been in Hollywood has been in that show. Minus us.
We've never been in Hollywood.
Spoiler alert. Yes, we have.
No, we haven't.
Coming soon this fall. Wait, it's fall right now. Next fall.
He's very dumb.
To ABC. Grey's Academy. Right after Grey's Anatomy. Thank God it's Thursday.
Are you done?
I can be. I wasn't planning on it.
I would love it.
Okay. Well, let's do something else then, I guess.
Oh,
let's do.
Cool. Do you want to do a podcast or?
Sure. We should start one right now.
What should we talk about?
I don't know. Maybe this pumpkin Reese's Halloween candy.
What's your
I have?
Favorite shape for Reese's?
The pumpkins or the trees. The pumpkins or the trees.
This is a hotly debated topic.
Yeah. What? There was someone in the group chat. Someone said the eggs, which are just regular Reese's.
They're not. I don't know if you're familiar with a circle versus an oval, but they are not the same.
No.
Unfortunately
ovals,
for you.
Ovals are just stretched out circles.
That's like what makes them different.
How? Oh. If you take a poop and you stretch it
out,
it's
still
a poop.
You put them together, if you took a regular one and you set it on top of an egg, it would be different.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see how that's not the same?
I get how you can think that.
Do you see how you are wrong?
No.
You never do.
There was one time I was wrong, but it turns out I was just right.
Every fucking day. Everyone was on my side last week when we were arguing, or whatever. Whenever we were arguing, everyone was on my side.
No one was on your side.
Oh,
literally,
my God. Everyone was on my side. They were saying that you were being annoying.
Wait, which one? I think we're talking about two different things.
Okay.
Was it the
probably
I'm sorry
untrue
argument?
Because everyone's always on my side.
Was it the I'm sorry argument?
There was that one.
Because I got a lot of messages in my Instagram inbox.
Well,
saying,
you confused the I'm sorry
argument. No. You confused. What are you talking about now?
See, if you'd let a woman finish speaking before you have to start mansplaining
I just need
everything. Oh,
to
look
make,
at that. Another
listen,
interruption. Wow.
Need,
Carmen hates women.
All I need is to continue to compromise with
and
you until you
going.
Have a baby
he
that you don't want to have.
He keeps going.
But it was a joke. I was going for the bit. I wasn't
I
actually
Owen.
Interrupting you.
He's so interrupted. First of all, Carmen is rude. Second of all, Owen is garbage.
Can you tell me what you were going to say?
Yeah, when we were arguing, it wasn't when we were yelling, it wasn't about apologizing. It was about something else. But then we also had an argument about apologizing in the same episode. Oh, it was about the Post-it.
Oh, yeah. People can disagree with me on the Post-it. That's fine. I don't care. It's stupid.
It's not.
Oh,
stupid.
No. When I said, no, everyone agreed with me on that, too. Are you
no,
kidding
they didn't.
Me?
No, they didn't.
And why
no one,
are
no
you...
one agreed with you on bear hunting.
You are gaslighting me. You're a gaslighter.
Dude,
you know
it's
that?
Fucking written down and recorded. You're such a dumbass. I don't have time for this. I have to go. I have to go take a nap. Napping is worth way more of my time than you are.
We have to get ready for our Zoom call today.
I don't know if I'll be able to do that. I actually will probably be dying.
Mm.
I am unwell today.
Sorry, also, you can do it from bed. Do it from your phone.
People are like stressing me out.
But you have wonderful doors to help block people out now.
Freaking vendors, man.
All right, so let's do a Grey's Anatomy podcast.
Oh, right. That's why this was open in the first place. And then I was answering emails like a responsible adult.
The
I had
reason...
to go to the bank today. So boring.
I'm going to say something, and it's not meant to be a negative diss specifically towards this company. It's more about capitalism. Jessica and I, we had Amnesty Day for our neighborhood. And
I think you need to explain that because we don't have that here. So
okay, Amnesty Day is when you can throw out as much garbage as you want from your house, with exceptions like tires and like building
chemicals.
Debris.
Can you throw away chemicals?
No, not gasoline, nuclear waste, nothing
can
like that.
Can you do paint or no?
You can do paint, but there's a specific process to dry out the cans and stuff. So we did this. So we cleaned out our basement. We cleaned out some closets. We threw some stuff away, but we were going through clothes underneath our bed that were just in these foldy totes. And Jess was like, just get rid of all of it. And I was like, well, there's a lot of good stuff in here. There's some Under Armour stuff. There's some Nike stuff. There's some Disney stuff. There's like dresses that she used to wear when she was a leader at Disney. So there was like a lot of good stuff in there. And I go to Plato's closet. I drive 20 minutes to get there. And
they suck.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm realizing now, that they suck.
I went there
and they're like, it'll take us like 2.5 hours. And I was like, okay, well, I guess I'll drive 20 minutes home and then 20 minutes back and then 20 minutes home again. That's fine. So they're like, okay, we're done. You can come get your stuff. $28.
Yep.
They gave me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and 14 cents. I don't want to forget that. For all of the clothes that, but they didn't even take most of it. So then I had to just take it to a donation bin anyways.
Yeah.
So I spent 20, 40, 60, 80 minutes driving for $28. And then still had to get rid of the clothes. And those bags were heavy.
Yeah, Plato's closet sucks. They're too far up their own ass.
Yeah, so like I told Jess, you know, I hate getting rid of stuff, again, because it's just capitalism, consumerism at its worst. Luckily, we donated it to one of those bins, you know, but I'm like, just if ever I say I'm going to just go to Plato's closet first, just say no. Because I'm done. I've done this a couple of times and they never take any of this stuff. And it's like really good stuff and I'm just done with it.
Yeah,
it's not worth
my
time.
Oh, they suck.
This is not a anti-Plato's closet statement. It's just an anti-don't waste my time statement.
I am anti-Plato's closet. They've been on my list since they started in high school. They're so fucking snobby.
They've been on my list.
They're like, I noticed that you've worn this clothing and also that it's not like fresh off of the runway. So I will give you 14 cents for a single shoe.
Mm.
I'm like, what?
I see also these laces have been tied before, so actually it's going to be 10 cents.
And it's just like, I try and find, but then it's like, try and find a donation place that's actually a not-for-profit that will actually, I prefer to do a donation place that will give the clothes to people in need rather than just sell the clothes to other people. But those are hard to come by sometimes.
Yeah.
But sometimes shelters, you can donate to like homeless shelters or like shelters for people who are leaving like domestic violence situations or other instances like that, but may need help.
You're a better person on this particular case than I am. I just don't want to throw it away. So if the donation bin that I put it in or the company that I give it to resells it, I don't care as much. I just don't want it in a landfill.
Yeah.
So
which is also
whatever
good.
Happens at that point. Yeah. Also, it is crazy because at one point we had like a whole bunch of mugs we were going through.
Yeah.
We put some mugs and like a jewelry box with like old, like Jess said, like fake.
Like costume jewelry.
Stuff like that. Thank you. Yeah. I couldn't remember what that was called. And we put it out at night, and by the morning we had come back, and I went to go throw another bag in, and all of the mugs and the jewelry box and all the costume jewelry was gone. So
see,
someone
not abnormal.
Went. Well, no, the raccoons got to it. So
all right, settle down.
Or the opossums.
Those fancy, fancily clad opossums. Yeah.
It's a possumable to know.
Okay, well, that was terrible.
What do you mean that was terrible? That was literary genius. Gosh, I don't understand.
I am so aware that you don't understand.
Okay, we're doing this podcast, but it is under protest. Let the record know, it's under protest from my end.
It's under protest on my end. I wish I was asleep.
I'm protesting you.
You were 30 minutes late.
In my defense, Jessica, it was her fault.
It's not because I like her better.
First off, I don't even know that that's true anymore. It's...
Whoa!
It's,
who was I on the phone with yesterday just for fun?
Me.
Jessica, I didn't.
So you're gonna lie to our millions of listeners?
I didn't talk to you on the phone yesterday. I talked to your wife.
No, you're remembering that wrong.
You were in the background yelling about how you could hear me on the phone.
Which means we were on the phone together.
No,
if I can hear you
Jessica
while you
had
talk
to
on
leave
the phone,
the room so that I could continue to talk to her.
No, no. I sent her away as a gift. I said, Kelsey needs to talk to you this time. I'm so tired of her always calling me, so you can talk to her now.
I never call Carmen. He's the worst.
It's true. Actually, I would like for you to call me more. I wish we were actual friends and not just podcast partners.
I know. Every time Carmen texts me, he's like, can I call? I'm like, I'm asleep. Actually, I see the text the next morning because you always text me at like 10 p.m. my time. I'm asleep.
Yeah, but
on
I'm
Sunday,
not even
I went
starting
to bed at
my day. I'm not even starting my day until 10 o'clock your time.
That is unpleasant. Anyways, should we talk about Grey's Anatomy?
Yeah. Can I just also say, underwhelming finale?
Yes. This is a very anticlimactic finale, especially on the heels of Gary Clark finale.
I thought someone was going to die all the way up until the final scene.
I remember watching this live, and I remember specifically thinking Christina was going to like have like a brain tumor or something because she kept saying her head hurt.
Yeah, or like
an aneurysm
or a stroke.
Like
she's gonna like
I was convinced. I was like, she just keeps saying her head hurts, and they can't find Derek, so something terrible is gonna happen.
Well, when she walks into the house and the music stops, I thought she was gonna find Derek dead. With the baby.
What were other moments that you made? Like,
well, hold on. Let's introduce
coming.
This episode and we'll talk about the
no,
music.
No, no. Let's just, tell me what you thought that ended up like, because again, this is a very like Shonda induced trauma response.
Oh yeah.
Because I remember watching this and also being like, what's going to happen? Because it doesn't feel finale-ish after last season's finale. Really after all the other finales, but specifically after season 6 finale. So I remember watching and being in the same boat and be like, okay, where's the terrible thing? So we get into like the specific like breakdown, what were some moments where you were like, oh, you know, this is going to happen?
Well, I want you to know that I thought Hunt was going to attack Christina. I thought when
physically,
he turned around,
because he did emotionally.
Yeah, he emotionally attacked her, but I thought he was actually going to do some bad shit. Not like
getting into like domestic violence. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I also, ladies listening out there, I want you to know I am for sure not on Owen's side on this.
I was pretty confident you weren't going to be, but there was like a teeny part of me that's like, what if he is? Like, I don't know how I'm going to like,
well,
show him the way.
No. Okay. I guess we could start with this once we get through this, because I think it's just a big conversation to have. But anyway, so I thought Owen was going to like act like attack, like physically attack her and hurt her somehow. And he was going to be like, you scheduled a termination? Well, I just did it for you. And he stabs her or some shit.
Oh,
I don't
Jesus.
Know. Yeah, that would
that
be
would
wild.
Be awful.
Very awful. Maybe he could
That's
use a
one
glass.
Of those things where like you have to then like that. That character has to not be on the show anymore because you can't like backtrack that and be like,
no, there's no coming back from
okay.
that arc.
Yeah. Yeah.
He could have used a glass plate, hit her over the head. I don't know. Just spitballing here.
Inspired by that concept.
Yeah. I thought that when they finally get to Derek and he's at the house, I thought something was going to fall on him and he was going to be dead.
Mm-hmm.
But I did think that he was going to be like, maybe he fell down the stairs or something and he was dead when the music was stopped at the house. Those were the two big things. I thought Hunt was going to do something really, really bad to Christina. And then I thought Derek was going to be dead because they couldn't get a hold of her. The last time we couldn't get a hold of someone that we're trying all episode to get a hold of them, it was fucking George and George was dead.
Right,
so,
those
were the two biggest things that I thought was going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I remember watching it live and being like, something's happening to Christina. Like, her brain is exploding out of her ears. Like,
yeah, I didn't actually get that. I didn't think they were going to do another, like, medic, because they did that before with her.
Well, I know, and that was also another reason. I was like, oh, she already had an ectopic pregnancy. But, I mean, she did have the ultrasound, so, like, in theory, we would know that it wasn't. But I was like, oh, it's going to be something else where she has another, like, pregnancy that is going to cause her, you know, some kind of... poor health situation.
Yeah. So those are the only, sorry. Those are the only two.
Okay. Only so two this is the 22nd episode of the seventh season, the final episode, the 148th episode overall, and it is called Unaccompanied Minor, which is a song.
Yes. Unaccompanied Minor. It's a song. Pulling my page up here now. Not much about this. It's it is a song that was off of the Orb 1 EP by the band Their Only Dreams, and it was released February 13th, 2016. So this song, yeah, that was all I got. It's I'm sorry. My page also is not, I'm in the basement right now. Released in 2016. Not a good song. Did not enjoy it. I was listening to it on the phone actually with Kelsey, and I
didn't mind the music. I did not love the man singing.
I didn't really,
but
like
I also
anything.
Don't know that I could hear it like truly, because I was just kind of hearing it through your microphone. So
yeah, not a fan. But the band, Their Only Dreams, also not a ton of information about them. They do have a couple of other EPs and albums out there. So maybe I'll have to go in and look into it, but didn't make it to the iTunes library. Didn't no charting. It was just an EP, kind of like a no-name thing. Not all of them are hits and bangers. It's okay. Not all of them can be I Will Survive.
So true. So true. Okay, so this episode was written by Deborah Kahn and directed by Rob Korn. And I could be wrong. I am saying this off of my memory and not off of any research. I think this is the first finale Shonda didn't write herself.
Ah.
Maybe the first season finale, because it wasn't originally intended to be the finale. Maybe she didn't write that one, but I don't super remember off the top of my head. But yeah, I know she wrote Gary Clark. I know she wrote the one with George and Izzy. So, I just think it's notable, and it kind of tracks with, not a whole lot happening in this episode.
Yeah. I think the psychological damage has been done. So the fact that like a finale came and went with nothing and it really happened. Psychologically, we all still felt the suspense. They really also kind of go big right off the bat. They're like, oh my gosh, there's a plane crash. We got to prep everyone. Everything is intense and crazy now. And when they, obviously.
Okay, she did not write season one finale. But again, that was not originally intended to be the finale. They ended up cutting it there to fit with other show finales. Anyways, okay. So, this episode aired May 19th, 2011, to 9.89 million views.
Dang, so a finale with under double digits.
I know. I will say Hulu and Netflix synopsis are word for word the same this month, or this week again. So I wonder why they just decided to start going like full on, just like instead of just taking part of it and not the rest, but all of it. Whatever. Anyway, so this week the synopsis is Meredith's dishonesty is revealed, leading to unexpected consequences for her and others. The new chief resident is chosen.
And your boy Carmen was correct. He called it right away, and he is so awesome.
Yeah, I wasn't looking forward to that moment of you singing a song or celebrating in any way, but here it is. We've done it. But and that's all right.
You tried to redirect me. You tried to get me to second guess myself, like with George and Izzy, and it didn't happen. It didn't happen.
Yeah, I do even think someone said in the Carmen Free chat that they were hoping that at the last minute you were going to change your mind and say it was going to go to someone else.
No, I felt really good with that guess from the get-go. I didn't see all of the other duplicitous shit between Alex and Meredith imploding her life and all of that happening. But
what were your thoughts on Hunt telling Alex that he had planned on choosing him as chief resident?
I think Alex was in kind of a hero arc for a little bit, even though it was born in the, like, in desperation. It makes sense. Like, if what they were saying, where the chief resident needs to be organized and they need to be able to get stuff done and they need to have the respect of their peers, all the stuff that Hunt listed, I think Alex had all of those things. Even if organization wasn't his strong suit, he was able to show that he was able to do it for this, right, this big thing. So that makes sense. Also, Alex has been in the hospital longer than April and Jackson.
He didn't even get fired.
Yeah, he didn't even get fired one time. You always got to check the lungs, April. Always check the lungs. So, or the trachea, whatever that was. Got to check the throat for the soot. Was everyone super stoked that I guessed it right off the bat?
No.
The first time I announced it, everyone said, wow, Carmen is such a good guesser. I can't believe with no information and right off the
you
bat.
You actually think that we're really nice in the chat that you're not in, and we're equally as mean in that one as we are to your face. So
interesting.
People are really on my side and like me when they are like, ugh, it's so annoying when he gets things right.
Okay. So I guess this is the end of the part. No more predictions from Carmen ever again.
Yep. Oh, perfect. Just the main part of the podcast, but that's fine. whatever. So selfish. Okay. So let's, I mean, do you want to just start with Christina?
Yeah. We'll start with Christina. Because I think that it's important. This is going to be a long conversation. Let's take a quick break for our regional sponsors, and then we'll jump right into it. Is that cool with you?
Yeah.
All right. We will be right back to shit on Owen Hunt.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
And we are back. It'd be really wild irony if there's like abortion ads or something like that. I think I have all of the religious stuff turned off. So,
oh, you the mean religious. Anti.
Yeah. It's
like,
anti.
It's like there's really not ads for that.
are you looking
I know,
for
that's
a carefree
what the, that's
abortion?
What some people think that we're doing, but that's actually not. Also, make sure you're registered to vote. Check your state's rules.
I got my registration confirmation in the mail a couple days ago. Also, so here's little sidebar. I listened to a lot of the interviews and a lot of the rallies on both sides. So I will say, if you're curious, I know I talk about financial stuff every once in a while here on the show. Dave Ramsey did an interview with Donald Trump. Dave Ramsey, for the record, is not my favorite personality, but he is someone that I've listened to a lot of, and he has some good principles, and he's helped Jessica and I with a lot of finances, like his philosophies, and I like to listen to the podcast with some of the people on the show. But he had Donald Trump on, and the interview was interesting. and then Kamala Harris did an interview on the Call Me Daddy.
Call Her Daddy.
Mm-hmm. I listened to that one, and then I also listened to the 60 Minutes interview while driving home from daycare this morning, dropping Marlo off. So there's a lot of good interview stuff out there. There's a lot of good things. If you're obviously, this is for those of you who live in the United States, be educated, make the decision that you feel good with. But regardless, do go vote. Your vote does matter.
Yes, please don't skip voting. It's so I talk a lot about how I'm constantly displeased with the people, the options that I'm given. As far as political candidates at presidential levels and other levels as well. And a lot of times people are like, well, just don't vote. And I think that's so wildly disrespectful. There are so many marginalized communities who fought hard for the right for every person to be able to vote. And so to just blow it off or not prioritize it to me is so disrespectful to the life's work of a lot of people. And I feel very strongly about that.
Yeah.
I also feel strongly that, a lot of the candidates I am given are all garbage. But whatever. That is the world that I am in, and I will participate in it still.
Yep.
Okay. So what were we talking about? Oh, yeah. Christina and Owen. So Christina... Yep. Just to refresh everyone's memories, because again, as we have already talked about, the season 7 finale is very underwhelming as far as finale goes. A lot of people, we were talking on Discord, because so many fans just watch straight through, a lot of people don't even realize that this is a finale because it doesn't have the weight of other finales. It's not even as its own episode. I would say it's memorable, but I wouldn't say it's oh my gosh, this is the episode, so many things, it's just shocking for it to be a finale compared to everything we've seen so far finale wise. So in this season finale, season 7, everyone finds out about Meredith messing with the trial. Richard and Derek find out that it was specifically about Adele. Derek and Meredith are granted custody of Zola, but Derek's super pissed about the trial, so he won't acknowledge that Meredith exists, so he doesn't even know that they have this baby. Super healthy. Christina finds out she is pregnant. She goes to Owen, her husband, who is fully aware that she doesn't want children, confides into him that she is pregnant and she will not be having this child. He tries to bully her into having a baby and then gets super mad when she doesn't agree with him. And the kind of big medical event is that a plane crashes into the Puget Sound, and they at first believe there are no survivors, and then they find an unaccompanied minor, hence the title, and that is the sole survivor of the plane crash. So that is the season 7 finale.
Yes, that's pretty much it.
So... Because they're anticipating, before they know that there are no survivors, essentially, they're anticipating a large need for blood donation. So they have a blood donation set up at the hospital. And Christina's talking to Quinn Perkins, who's there donating blood, who cannot remember the last
Quinn.
Time.
I thought it was Gwen. I could not. And I didn't want to take the time to search. Quinn. I was like, Olivia? Huck? Is it Huck? Huck.
Yeah. Yeah. It's Huck, Olivia, Quinn. Abby, Quinn.
Abby! David Rosen, Attorney General of the United States.
David Rosen. Yes, I love him. Cyrus,
Cyrus.
Cyrus, yes. Bean was in the Menendez movie show that I watched, Monsters.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Not Fitz, a whole lot. He was in it two or three episodes.
Fitz and Melly Grant.
Ugh, Melly. Love of my life.
Melly. Queen Melly. And then who was,
there was Harrison, Henry's. But he had to be written off the show because he's a bad person in real life, which is a bummer.
Harrison. Who was Harrison? Yeah,
Harrison was in the first episode. He was we're the ones that are gladiators in suits. Do you want to be a gladiator in a suit? Like to Quinn in the very first episode.
What'd they do to him? He died.
Yeah, Rowan shot him.
Sorry, spoiler alert, I guess. It's the first episode. I guess. Is it the first episode?
He dies in the third season finale. But
what?
Okay.
I thought so. I didn't realize. Okay, I have so much. I need to just, I guess, rewatch that show. I don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Anyways.
Anyways, Henry's Quinn name Perkins is Jake. There. In Scandal. Jake. Quinn is there donating blood, and she cannot remember her last period. So Christina's like, oh, you know. What did you eat a bunch of donuts and then think like, oh, this is so gross. I must be hormonal. And then it was your period. And she was like, oh, yeah, that's so true. Except it was Easter. So it was the peeps. And Christina's like, oh, fuck. It's been a long time since I've had a period. And then she goes to Lucy, who is still there, much to Alex's chagrin.
I knew you were going to say chagrin. I'm so glad we finished each other's sandwiches.
And she's 6 weeks and she's super upset. She immediately tells her husband, which is, you know, feels like the correct choice. And then he immediately makes the worst choice possible, which is to guilt her for not sharing his same wants and goals in life, which she has been super clear about before. And then yell at her and bully her and just like be like, well, why don't you just think about it and just hope that thinking about a huge life decision for a couple hours will definitely lead you to anyways, I hate Owen Hunt, guys.
So I'm gonna yawn and then I'm gonna tell you my thoughts. I want you to know that I would have done the initial thing that Owen did, and I would have said, let's take a minute and think. The difference is that once Christina came to the conclusion that she did, that would be the end of the conversation.
My thing also keeps... is like, they have had this conversation before. I would be more on his side of like, let's talk about it if they hadn't already gone back and forth about this more than once.
I will say yes. I do think that it's important to revisit the conversation once it's actually a real tangible thing. And but again,
here's my thing that I will say, I'm sorry to cut you off, but I think it's important to note that she does tell him because she thinks in their relationship that he understands where she's coming from and that he is going to be supportive. And unfortunately, she's super fucking wrong.
Yeah. It's he keeps saying that he's mad that she's not even considering it. She spent the whole damn episode considering it. That's where I start to shift of I'm no longer on Owen. Like, yes, okay, it's real now. Again, I think that it is important. I would say it where I would be coming from in this situation is, yes, we've had this conversation. Can we just take some time and think through and make sure that this is the exact decision we want to make? Can we just confirm that? And then once we do that, okay, cool. But once she confirms it, that's the end. It's when she says that she's made the choice and he's like, you refuse to consider it. No, she's been considering it. She spent all day with this. She's like, do you want her to, like, you can't just say, okay, give me, let's take a week to think through. No.
Let's have the baby and then see how you feel. Like, I feel like that's what he's pushing for.
Right.
Basically.
That's what he's saying. And that's not fair. Take, okay, 24 hours. Okay. You still feel good with that decision? Okay, cool. Like, Owen, shut the hold on, what's up?
Me. Shut the fuck up.
Owen Hunt. Yeah. That's nice. It's like very hard to talk about because yes, a marriage is a partnership. And building a family is something that two people decide to do together.
Yeah.
And if one of them doesn't want to do it, you don't get to do it. And I'm sorry if that's offensive to people, but also I'm actually not sorry about that at all. If she doesn't want to have a baby, she's not going to have a baby. And I don't understand. He clearly thinks so poorly of her because she's like, he doesn't even think that if she has this baby, she'll love it. And she's like, I will love it. And he's like, oh, yeah, so like, that's the problem. You'll love the baby. And I'm like, you don't understand the problem because you have different worldviews.
Yeah.
And you're not willing to understand the problem. The problem is she doesn't want a baby and you do. And you're going to be a raging turd about it.
Wow. Turd is not the word that I thought you were going to use. turd's nice for you. Turd is like rated G for you.
Mm.
So, yeah, I agree. I don't see how their relationship lives past this. It just doesn't. Mm-hmm. Also, that's okay. Like, to be in a to have a relationship end over two fundamental differences, that's okay.
Yeah.
They love each other. Although, you know, with how Hunt acts in some of those scenes, I'm not quite sure. You know, it's very confusing. Although, I guess I shouldn't say that. That's a bit mean. I know that Jessica and I go for the jugular when we argue. But
you guys really do.
It's not when it's about ideological differences. It's something stupid. No. And it's, you know, whatever.
It's like, oh, you didn't wash the dishes when I wanted you to.
Yeah.
But the response is heinously, heinously overreactive to that specific scenario.
No, I don't think so. Anyways, so
here's something else that makes me mad about Owen, because I have just, you know, a million things on this list. But who bought that house? Christina Yang. Christina Yang bought that house outright. And while that was problematic, in my opinion, at the time, and I said that that was problematic because she just went out and bought it without talking to her husband. And I do think that's psychotic to do. For him to then kick her out makes me so mad.
Yeah,
that is her house. You have literally no ownership in that house. She bought it. She bought that house because you love it. And now you're like, get out, because you don't want to incubate my child for me and give me everything I've ever wanted in the world.
Yeah, didn't even think about that. That is problematic, and I don't like it now. I don't like it even more.
Yeah, and then he's like, do you think I want you to be miserable? It's so annoying when you're miserable. Like, ugh, I hate it when you go to Meredith. Oh my God, I hate this man so much.
So anyways, to recap, I think that it was fair in the beginning, the initial news of saying, let's discuss this and think through this. It shifted to Owen being incorrect when he kept pressuring her and didn't agree with her. And
then he tried to be like, you have a life in you.
Yeah. Does it life have elbows? Bro, I promise
hands?
You.
What?
I promise you it doesn't have hands. I promise you that little fucking jelly bean, what chickpea size thing does not have hands.
No, you shouldn't promise, because it might, but that's irrelevant to the conversation, so it doesn't really matter whether or not it does or not.
When do hands form?
I do think it's like, but in
what about
between
fingers?
6 and 8 weeks.
When do fingers form?
Fingers is way later. Fingers is way later.
Fingers make the hands.
But they get the little, like, you guys can't see the motion
fins?
I'm doing. But
they get fins, the little fish, dolphin fins.
Like a little
tadpole. Yeah.
They get nubbies. It's like a jelly bean, and then it's like a jelly bean with four little nubs.
Yeah. So I I'm going to throw myself under the bus. Men don't get to decide these things for women, because men do not know the reproductive cycle in depth enough to have any opinion. If that was a benchmark, which it is not, because at the end of the day, it's your own body. So fuck it. But remember that time where Jess was telling me that elbows were growing, and I was like, that doesn't make sense. You know what I thought? I thought the baby had all of the things, and then it just got bigger and bigger and bigger. Like, honey, I shrunk the kids. I didn't realize that it's growing
that
one part at a time.
A sperm hit an egg, and there was a baby that was just tiny from those two separate things.
It went from little zygote.
Okay.
To little mini microscopic human, and then just got bigger and bigger.
I will say again, because people who are pro-forced birth try to make it seem like that when they're protesting outside of abortion clinics, they're like putting their like, your baby's 3 weeks and it looks like this, and they just hold up like the tiny little dolls, and I'm like, that's a lie. It's just like actually a lie.
Yeah. So yeah, it's a combination of it's not our bodies, so shut the hell up, and also we don't know enough about it, so shut the hell up.
And yeah, it's just frustrating because, like, I have respect for the sanctity and partnership that is a marriage.
Absolutely.
But, like, sometimes I do feel like it's not a we situation.
Yeah, like when I decide that I want to buy shoes for myself. It's a me situation.
Right, and when Jessica decides she wants to buy shoes for herself, and then you're mean about it.
Well, that's because that's a we situation. Didn't you?
Exactly.
It's because
she's
a woman.
Guys, Carmen hates women. You first heard off, it here I, first, guys.
I think it's important that I don't just laugh at it and then move on. I need to outright deny.
That's probably
so,
true.
Yeah, I am. I love women. I am for women. I do not hate women.
Binders full of women.
I have binders. I have magazines full of women that when I open up to a certain page, they open up and the pages get bigger. I have lots. I love women.
Magazines full of nude women.
Oh, goodness. That was a joke as well. It's the age of the internet. I have no magazines.
Yeah, we don't have magazines anymore. It's all right on Google.
All I have to do is go to Instagram, and there's plenty of women that are naked in the feeds that
and
randomly I find.
They're all trying to sell you crypto.
Or their OnlyFans account, which I want neither.
Which they want you to pay for crypto for some reason.
Yeah. So, gosh, this needs to be a soundbite that we put live on Instagram. This is just comedic and reality gold. So, in conclusion, I want everyone to know that I don't think I'm predicting that they're not going to be able to be together. They can't. Christina's going to get the abortion, which she should if that's her choice. Mm-hmm. And Owen either will have to live with it or he won't. And I don't think he's going to be able to live with it. So they're going to get a divorce, which is fine, because two people who don't see eye to eye on family should not be together, in my opinion. So.
I agree. Okay, I think, do we have anything else on how much Owen is a piece of garbage?
When they're outside and he just keeps saying, like, do you love me? Do you trust me?
Oh, my God.
It's like,
so
bro,
like, that
it's
is
just
irrelevant.
Emotional terrorism.
Like, respectfully, it's fucking irrelevant.
Yeah. Look at Mark and Lexi. Clearly love each other, but they're not together because they have different views on family. Like, just let it go and be happy for people.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, God, he's the
Also, how many times do domestic relationships where the dude just beats the shit out of the wife goes, but I love you? Just
that,
like fucking
I will say this.
Back
we use
off.
The word trauma bonding a lot. And actually, that's what trauma bonding actually is when you like hurt someone physically or emotionally and then tell them, well, I have to do this because I love you. That's actually what trauma bonding is. And that's super fucked up.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I thought it was people who went through the same trauma together and now they're
yeah,
bonded.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. There might be a term for that also, but I don't know
that's,
what it is.
That sounds more like a trauma trap. You heard it here first.
It's bad,
I'm coining the phrase the trauma trap, which is what our friendship is.
Oh, that's
because
so cool.
You traumatize me every day.
Good. It's not enough.
This is a domestic
clearly
violence.
Not enough because you're still not in therapy.
This is my therapy.
Oh, see, that's traumatic.
All right. Anyways, so that's enough on Owen and Christina, but I gave my official predictions. And yeah, Owen sucks hard in this episode.
So true.
Not in a good way.
So true. It's true. Okay. And then what should we get into next? Let's just do a quick one, which I feel like Teddy and Henry is pretty quick.
Yeah. This is, I also don't like this storyline at all.
I kind of, I'm like, if it was switched and Teddy was the one setting this boundary, I feel like I'd be like, good for you. I feel like he's setting a boundary. He's not saying, be with me. He's saying, I have feelings for you and you don't have feelings for me. So please leave me. I don't want to be treated like your best friend. Please leave me alone.
Yeah. Get your pudding away from me.
Now, he does throw it, which I think is wrong.
Yeah.
And violent is not the answer. But other than that, I kind of like, I'm like, yeah, it's harsh. And obviously it upsets her and makes her cry. But like, I kind of see where he's coming from. I'm like, he's setting a boundary and he's like, I can't do this. Just like
yeah.
When if you look like with Stark in April and he's like, I don't want to be your friend. That's
the difference
fine.
Is
that's
she respects the boundary.
Yeah.
Teddy
but that's what I'm saying.
It.
Like it to me it's a similar thing of just setting a boundary and be like,
yeah.
I have feelings for you and I can't just sit here and like be your pal. while you like talk about going away with this other guy.
Yeah. And
I mean,
and
he
starts...
is passive aggressive at the beginning.
Oh, yeah. With the, yeah, the crouching. He's a rock star. So every time you say the name Andrew, I need to just cheer. You know, like he's laying it on thick in the beginning. He really is.
Yeah.
When he says
coping with jabbing humor.
Yeah. And he even says, like, you don't need to feel bad for the time that I'm unconscious. Feel bad for all the other times when I'm awake. That's when I'm going to be sad and missing
Which,
you.
Which, like, that could truly be, like, a friendship statement. Like, that could be, like, you could say that to your best friend. Be like, well, I'm going to miss you when you move away. That's not inherently a romantic statement.
I guess.
And then, yeah. Okay.
I guess.
Okay.
Kelsey, I'm going to miss you when I'm awake. Not when I'm asleep.
Okay. I'll probably be asleep.
So I do think it's kind of sweet when she goes, when she says something to the effect of like, I may not be your real wife, but you're my real best friend.
Yeah.
Real best friend.
That is like, sweet. But that's, yeah, unfortunately that he just doesn't feel the same and he tries to respect that. But then she just keeps coming back and like, it's hard for him emotionally. He's like, I can't do this all day long.
Do you have the transcript from that scene where she does go back with the pudding and it's tough to watch. It's sad, but I think it's a good scene.
Which part are you wanting to hear?
Start from
his speech.
Yeah, his speech where I tried to be a gentleman.
Okay. When he says, you need to get the hell out. Letting you go was the worst thing I've ever done. It was the most painful thing I've ever done. And I am a guy who has had 82 surgeries. My threshold for pain is pretty high. You need to get out. I'm not your best bud. I'm not your security blanket. I'm a man who's in love with you, who waltzed you into the arms of a damn knight on a horse. So go to Germany and have little Spetzel eating children. And please, for God's sakes, leave me alone. And he doesn't say it, honestly, super aggressive or mean. He just, like, says it, for the most part, matter-of-factly. At the end, he gets a little more intense, but...
Yeah. It is sad. It's hard to watch. She leaves. She's upset. She's crying. Mm-hmm. But when... So, Perkins, then later, after all of the stuff with the plane, which we'll get to... He goes to her and he's like, when you just, you want to spend time with someone that you're falling in love with, we're just going to sit in a bathtub all night.
Like,
the water is going to make you pruny. First off, bro, what an idiot.
The fuck? I spend like 3 hours in the bath every time I take a bath.
Okay.
You're doing baths wrong.
First off, that may be correct.
Well, I will say the world is not built for you to be taking baths.
Yeah.
You're too big of a person. You need a bigger tub. And it's hard to find those. You got to get like a custom tub.
That tub that we had in Florida was great.
Yeah,
that big like triangle shaped tub. That was nice.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, in that moment, I did not see Teddy turning all of that down happening.
Really?
I think that, well, if she turned him down, I didn't see her going back to Henry. I thought it was going to be like nothing. I'm nothing then.
I'm confused as to how you got there. Can you share your train of thought?
So she was hugging Perkins.
Uh-huh.
And she clearly did not look happy.
Because she was having a realization. Because he paged her. When he was in a bad headspace, because he was like, I'm having a bad day. When you have a bad day, you just want to be with someone that you care about. And she realizes when she was in that headspace,
because
she
went and brought pudding to Henry.
Because that's what she wanted to be with.
Okay. Got it. Okay. See, this is why we do the podcast together, because I'm having this realization now. That makes sense. See, when I'm watching these episodes for the first time and taking notes, I miss up on some of the cues. So... I didn't see that next part coming, but she brought the pudding to Henry and I get it. And then she goes back to him and then she goes, I need you to stand up so I can kick you in the balls. And he goes, I don't want that. And she goes, no, I'm just kidding. Let me kiss you. It was sweet. I get it now. And it's a long kiss.
Well, it's been a long time coming.
Yeah. It seems like just yesterday he air humped her while singing a song.
Weird.
He had a rocket in his front left pocket, and it was ready to explode, semen-wise.
Yeah, that was just the weirdest blocking. when I'm trying to remember, I mean, it was like the front half of the season that they introduce him.
I'm going to guess episode 3.
No, I don't think it was that early, but
episode 4. No, I think episode 1, like 1 through 5 was still focused on the whole Glig, the Gary Clark little thing that happened, you know.
Yeah, it was I think it was after Christina comes back.
That's a ways in.
Yeah, but it was still like probably halfway through.
Well, it's fine, regardless. Yeah, they're together. They're together. And then she hits him with the, "You're my husband, and I think I'm falling in love with you." Well, I think it was meant to, that's a little bit comedic. Ironic.
You think it's, what? those are two different descriptors.
I think it's both comedic and ironic.
Okay.
Satanic. Demonic.
Okay.
Titanic. Tectonic.
Okay.
Supersonic.
Do you have any actual note of, like, anything to say?
I predict that they will stay married until Henry ultimately dies.
And why is he dying?
Because he has a disease.
Right. That is called, so that's what kills him.
The disease. Oh, yeah. The disease kills him.
Okay.
Yeah.
First episode he is in. God, the internet is just a piece of garbage today.
It's also rife with spoilies, so I can't just do a quick Google search on this. I can't like be like, "Oh, Kelsey, let me help you out." Beep, 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 beep. No, I can't. I can't
beep,
do
beep,
it.
Beep, beep. Alrighty, well, why don't
can't
we
find that info? That's it. That's all you,
I will find it.
Okay. Is there any final thoughts you want to share before we do another episode? I think the next episode is going to be very heavy on a plane crash. Well, I guess last shout out. I recognize that Quinn Perkins is going to be in Shondaland. So, spoiler alert.
Thank you.
Oh, let's talk about Bailey real quick.
Oh, yeah. That was like very small moments that were very nice.
So Bailey has a moment where she's obviously going through the realization that her parents live in Baltimore. They take that flight all the time. This could have been her. Like, what separates the
she's
randomness of
that
the generation
with her son?
Yeah, yeah. So and Eli, there's, I kind of go back and forth on this guy because in that moment he's like, "I'm just going to stand here with you. You don't need anything from. I'm just going to be with you.
Yeah.
You're just going to be. We're going to share presence and a moment together, but I will say nothing." I get it. Super sweet. And then later on, he forces himself to go back to her house with her when she says no because her kid is there and didn't respect that boundary. And I did not like it. I felt not good about it.
Interesting. I actually feel like if she had doubled down and continued to say no, he would have respected it. But I like when he says, "I can meet your son. I won't bite your son." And then episode 10. That was, by the way, the first episode that Henry was in. So he's been here for 12 episodes. Although he wasn't in all of them, but he was introduced in episode 10. So I appreciate when Eli says, he's like, "I want to meet your son. And if like that's not possible, then like I don't think this is the right relationship for me." Because he's like ready to be fully committed to the point of like her son being a part of her son's life. And I don't know that that's wrong.
I don't know that she's ready for it.
Then I don't think she would say yes.
I guess.
It's Miranda Bailey.
I get me. She's going and soft. She's soft.
Okay, that's sexist.
Okay. What?
I just think that you wouldn't say that if it was a man. And I
They're
also
all
don't
going
agree.
Soft. Everyone is going soft.
Owen is not soft.
No,
he's
just a
the
fucking
worst piece of
dick,
shit.
Dick prick bitch faceness. Listen, do you think that episode 1, Miranda Bailey, would have let anyone change her mind, man or woman? No.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
She is not like stubborn to the point of flaw. She is stubborn, but all open-minded.
I don't know. I don't know. Something's going on with Bailey. Something's going on.
What?
I don't know.
What? I'm confused what your issue with the scene is.
I don't like Eli pressuring her, and I don't like her giving in to the pressure.
Again, I don't think it's a pressure so much as like an expectation for a relationship. And I'm not going to say it's bad because I constantly shit on people for shitty communication. And this is positive communication.
I'm just saying that I didn't like it.
And I'm saying you're doing a piss poor job of communicating why, thus emphasizing my point of poor communication. Here's what he says. I want to come home with you. And she says, Tux with me tonight. And he says, I can meet your son. I won't bite your son. And she's like, no. And he says, this is a relationship. Things were bad. We lean on each other when things are bad. That information will not hurt your child. And if it does, then this is not the right relationship for me. Like, he doesn't want to hide things from her child. Her child's the most important person in her life. And he recognizes that. So hiding that is not a positive thing for her relationship with her child or her relationship with him being Eli. And he even says, like, I won't touch you. You can tell him I'm your friend. Tell him whatever makes you comfortable. But like, there is always, it's going to start somewhere. If you are a single parent, they will start somewhere when you have a significant other meet your child. They have been together a while, like probably close to 6 months, maybe more. Because if you'll remember, the post-musical episode was 3 months by itself. So probably more than 6 months at this point.
I guess I just feel like if she was ready for that, she would have broached that conversation as opposed to him forcing the conversation to happen.
But if she isn't ready for it, then he would say, I respect that. I will not do it. But I don't think this is where I don't think we're on the same page as to where this relationship is going.
I see your point. I just don't agree with your point.
Right. And I'm explaining to you why it's wrong to disagree with me because I am correct.
No, I disagree.
Yes. Well,
we should go to another episode. No, we can have disagreements without trying to force the other person to
agree.
We
can, but I just think that this time you're wrong and it's not good. I will not agree to disagree.
And I think you're wrong, and I will agree to disagree. We're saying the same thing.
Right. No, that's the difference, is I rarely want to agree to disagree. Because you're often so wrong that it is very much a problem for me.
I think that as someone who has gone through that with three younger siblings and lived through this exact thing as well, I just have a little bit of a inclination to say if the person's not ready, they would bring it up. I'm just speaking from that experience where it was forced onto us.
That's a very different experience than being the person in the relationship with the child.
I understand that, but I'm looking at this literally live. Mm-hmm. And all
no,
I see is Bailey's perspective.
You're an adult.
No, I'm looking at this. No, live as I'm watching the TV show. I'm looking at this for the first time. I think that if there was ever going to be a conversation around when you would meet someone's kid from a divorce standpoint, it would come from the parent of the kid. Not the other person.
Okay, and let's say you're dating a single mom and you've been dating for 8 months and at no point has it been brought up. You're just fine with that. You would never even bring it up.
I'm not
to even
saying
say, do
Eli
you have an
did,
idea?
Eli did fine with the situation that he had. I don't like that Miranda wasn't the one to bring it up.
Right. What I'm saying is if you were in a scenario where you were dating a single parent, and you had been dating with them for almost a year, and at no point had they brought up meeting their child, you would just be like, that's fine.
I don't think that this was
the scenario.
You wouldn't
even bring it up to be like, do you think this is a possibility?
Yeah, absolutely. But this
so
isn't what happened.
So it's fine for you to bring it up.
This isn't what happened. He was basically saying,
"I'm going
to meet
he brought
your
it
kid,
up.
or this isn't going to we're going to break up if I'm not meeting your kid."
Okay.
I don't think it was the right situation is all I'm saying. Let's do another episode. This is more, okay. You're being unreasonable.
You're being unreasonable.
No, you're not allowing us to just agree to disagree. You're,
because I
you're,
hate
you're,
doing
you are
that.
Owen Hunt.
You
you're Owen
say
Hunt
it
in this situation.
All that's,
stop
wow.
being an Owen Hunt. Owen wow. Hunt, I'm doing a podcast with Owen Hunt.
I'm going to say right now, people on Discord are not going to like you calling me that.
That's
and
fine.
They're going to disagree.
That's fine.
No one will be on your side
all,
for this one.
We can all agree to disagree.
No, we can't! Be right back for another episode. We'll start with everyone's favorite segment.